Okay, I'd like to call the meeting of the budget hearing. It is 7:05. And Claudia, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right, so I just want to make sure everybody has the correct budget with you. So what I'm going to do is we're going to go over kind of line by line, and then I'm going to go into a first phase of what we're going to talk about. But also, just a quick update for next week, we'll do a moment of silence for both Valerie Napolitano and for all the events that have been going on around the world in the sense of some misfortune. So I thought it would be better to do that at the regular Board of Trustees meeting. So with that said, we had our bid opening today for the dam. Two of the four bids came in right pretty close to where CHA had estimated that they would come in at. So those bids were all sent to, they were on the phone with us when we did the bid opening. And so they were sent, the contracts were sent to CHA scanned in for them to look at to make sure everything is correct on them, as well as Brian. So next week they will make their recommendations to us of who we should go with for the dam construction. And I asked that a day or two prior to the meeting next week that they give us a summary of, you know, what they're basing their decision on. And Brian is going to be working with Mike in that regard.
So Alan, they're all in the 3.4, 3.5, 3.7 type of
right. They ranged from high to, you know, two of the four came right in.
Right.
How many bidders were there?
There were four.
No, to invite. I'm happy to invite.
Oh, there that took packets. Oh, we had from contractors to subs. There were like 20-something packets that were sent
out. How many people did we, would we invite? How many people had we invited to bid?
We didn't do that. That was all done by CHA.
On behalf of the village, on behalf of CHA, how many people did we invite to submit bid packages for the dam?
They did all of that. CHA too.
Well, it's open to everybody. Yeah.
It's open to everybody. Whoever, I don't think it's done by newspapers.
Yeah, we didn't invite
anyone. We posted
in the newspaper,
and
we advertised in the New York State website, right?
27.
I think CHA.
CHA did on our behalf, yeah.
And how many people did, just for interest, like yourselves? They were
four people bid. But not all who pick up packets will bid.
Sure.
They will. There will be some subs that are contacting contractors.
Yeah, and what were the bids?
We're not going to do that until CHA finishes looking at all of those.
Well, you just made a statement that they all came in close.
Two of them came in close.
Right. So, if you can say that, I'd like to discuss the bid prices.
We're going to have CHA do that with us. So to make sure that they all were done correctly, so they haven't had a chance to...
So it's fair to say that when you state that two of them came in just around where we wanted them.
Like three,
that's
five,
just
three,
really
six.
Based on before CHH did any
5 million, 3.6 million.
Right.
Before anybody looked, before the engineer looked at him and made sure they're apples
that's
to apples
right.
to apples. Okay.
He's got, and I think that's really the fair,
exactly. That's
the fair thing. And that's what he recommended, because then he's making sure they have to have certain criteria on all bid packages.
The RFP was very detailed, but maybe someone came in.
I do have one question. I read something that the, you know, the stonework that's around the concrete
parapet.
Area.
Yeah.
The inside, inside or the outside? Because there's inside the auxiliary.
The outside.
And
the
outside.
That the presentation that we had last
right.
time, where we were shown that it, because the board for a certain depth, there would be the stonework,
stone.
So
right.
it wouldn't just be exposed concrete.
Right.
Now I understand that was changed to a separate item. Is that
it's
right?
Part of the bid package.
As a separate line item.
Yes.
Okay.
And
why
with
did we decide
that, it still
to do that?
Comes in. It still comes in.
Right.
Just so we could have the choice.
Oh, okay.
To
so,
give the board the choice to see where numbers came in, if we had to
right,
trim fat
right.
or something, it gave us
do
the
you,
choices.
Do you think that's a possibility?
I think it'll be a very good possibility that we get to do it.
Or the oh, yes, that so. We get to put the
yeah.
stone in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Concrete
I think
dam?
No. It's, what do you mean concrete dam?
Well, if you're not using stone.
No, it is stone.
You're just saying it's a choice.
No, 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 no.
The covering is stone.
If you were at the, there was a very detailed presentation, and if you didn't come, you should go look online or listen to the tape. On the visual side of the auxiliary, none of that changes. That whole, because he's been working with the historic preservation.
No, you don't have to go into.
So all of that stays. On the exterior of the dam, there's ways that it doesn't need to have the stone where the water is always there, because it just destroys. So that was all explained in the, it was very, very detailed.
It is a big aesthetic issue.
It is a big, and that's why we decided to keep that, if we could afford, you know, on that exterior part.
Lily, in order to get the old water level to its natural height, we had to put a parapet wall there, so that's.
There's a lot of moving pieces of that.
It's just when you said a choice, was confusing. Okay.
Yeah, this is a project that you can't take certain things out of context. You've got to look at the whole picture, because there's a lot of moving pieces with it.
All right, just to clear up. So tonight we're not going to announce the actual cost
we're
of the bid until.
Right, okay. And he's going to be on the phone with us next week at the meeting. Mm-hmm. He's going to send us information, and then we'll vote on which, he's going to present the company he recommends we use.
Okay, good.
Him and Brian, and then that's.
Can we have him attend? I think it would be beneficial, given this, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of questions.
Well, he'll be on the phone with that, so I don't think he can be here.
Given the order of magnitude that we're paying them $800,000, he better be here. That would be my view.
Okay, well, I don't think we can ask him.
I think we can strongly suggest it would be a very good idea.
So Debbie, if you could just email Mike and ask him if he could.
One good thing is he had mentioned that there was a guy he's worked with in the past. He hopes bids.
Some of them did bid.
They did.
Yeah, some of them did bid.
Do you know the names of those guys?
No, we could ask him. I did not want to have, I think that we all needed to stay that degree of separation,
sure.
So it was very even, that we didn't know who to contact, what to do, and just let them do the process of the way they advertise.
I'm glad at least one of the guys who worked with this.
And all of that.
Come in.
So,
you're looking for staff.
So, all right, so now going on to other things. So with the budget, what we have done was, now that we had gotten our bid opening package today, Debbie and I were to be able to go deeper into the budget, knowing that we have had a good putting into the surpluses for 2 years, and then this year we're going to be putting that amount in. So we want the village to be able to have less of an impact on the bond that we're going to have to do, because it is the largest bond, as Alan said at the last meeting. It's one of the largest bonds that we've ever done, and I just think that's critical. And then there's going to be savings in the 2018-19 budget of things that we've already projected of savings. So because of that, we know that we're going to be able to handle the bond with no problem. The finance committee has been in guidance with all of this, with all the numbers. So with that said, we're going to use some of our surplus to help us with the bond, because the bond is very impactful on the budget, to be able to ease into that factor. The first thing I want you to look at is in the tiny print on the right side at the bottom. It shows what the budget would have been without the bond, which means without dam restoration. Okay?
And so that's 3.5, is that what you're
right,
talking about?
Right. So you would have, you'll notice that we would be in very good shape compared to the adopted budget of 16-17, where we will be for year to date,
and
where we were for
the
15-16. Right.
So, we didn't
change
the budget for
very,
years.
Very little would have changed without the bond. The real estate property taxes are reflective of how the markets have been, in the sense of new houses are coming online from construction, et cetera. So all sorts of things have impacted that. And then the appropriations also have gone up a little bit with this year's budget. So that kind of, speaks for itself. Does everyone understand that? So that way we're right at, with the calculations, we would have been under the tax cap if we would have stayed without a bond of fixing the dam. And as we know, we don't have a choice, that they will make us, they will bring charges against us in breaching the dam. And to breach a dam doesn't mean you abandon a dam. Breaching a dam can run 1.5 million north
Well, if they do it for us.
Well, they would be doing it, because that has to be an entire...
Well, they triple charge us.
It's an entire engineering plan and everything that has to occur, and that comes directly from the DEC. So being that we're fixing the dam, they're not imposing those type of measures on us.
May I take this a moment to compliment Alan? Last meeting, he said that if we didn't vote for the bond, pass the bond, that there was a chance, there was a general feeling by the board members that there would be a chance that the DEC would not appreciate that and would potentially come, according to some of you guys, and tear the dam down, or something of that nature. So I'm glad, or, oh, the other thing was that people wouldn't bid if we didn't pass the bond. So Alan, you called that out correctly. They did bid, and we didn't get the dam shut down, so thank you.
Do you feel appreciated?
For that, I'm not trying to take credit.
I don't think that's what the deal was, but if we would have given the message we were doing nothing, that message would have gone very strong.
Well, as Alan said, he said, we've already put so much money into it, the DEC would be hard-pressed to say we weren't trying.
Yes and no. We did speak with the DEC after the vote, so we did have a conference call with the DEC, Mike and I, to let them know that we didn't pass the bond, and that wasn't a... And if they wouldn't have received the phone call, they would have been very concerned.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
They would have been concerned. But we made the call to let them know we wanted to see what the bids were. Mm-hmm. We were being fiduciary responsible if we needed to raise more money.
I'm glad you agreed with this.
So, you know, but they felt losing the 30 days.
I felt so beaten up for not voting
but,
for it.
Well, I can honestly tell you it would have been better to have voted for it, because we wouldn't have lost the 30 days, even though the interest rates move little, it's still, we could have put a contingency in there, as Maureen has stated. I think Maureen told Alan, we could have done a contingency where you just don't sign the documents, and the clock could have been ticking, which would have been very good for the village. So we could argue both sides of that coin. Anyway, so moving on, so we're going to I think phasing how that's going to work is much better for the village. If we've saved a good amount of money, we never want to have more in the surplus than we need to have. Healthy amounts in surpluses run between 10 and 12%. So long as we're staying in that range, it's always better. We shouldn't have more than that, because that means you're paying too much in taxes.
So what's our surplus right now?
Our surplus right now is 350...
So under 10%.
343,441.
Right, so under 10%.
So we raised it.
And also, I thought we brought this up last time, the comptroller wants it higher than 12%.
Well, hold on a second. There's a surplus in the general fund, and a surplus
also
in the water fund, 150. So that's 5.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So we have more.
It's 4 and change.
Right.
It's
277,48.
I just took the differential and added them up, and it wasn't 500.
Well, it's 350 plus 150.
No, you're wrong. It's 277,448 surplus in the water. And 343,441 in the general, and that's 500. That's 630,000. Wait a minute, 7 and 10. 620,000. 800 and change.
Right. I'm confused now.
You're very confused. You're
even though they're two separate budgets.
Did you, when you sent out that mailer, that flyer, you didn't call them water fund surplus
it's
and
the
general
same
fund. What did you call them? Accounts
savings
or
account.
Savings accounts. So now I'm confused. What are we talking about?
Confused.
Well, how do you expect me not to be confused?
Surpluses,
are these the same things?
Surplus is like savings accounts.
They're the same things.
Yes, it's a municipal term for a savings account.
Think of surpluses as it's the money you have for rainy days.
Well, I know what a surplus is.
Okay.
I'm just wondering what the comptroller said we should be at.
Sorry. I'm getting the water.
Getting
water department, we've got a, through April 12th or what, April
There's
13th,
surplus.
We have
what's the surplus
net income of $78,000. $78,000.
There's a surplus, though, that's in a separate fund.
In the water fund.
I think it was 277.
Yeah, that's a surplus. That doesn't reflect in there.
That's not in this.
No.
Okay.
That's a surplus.
So we have 277 plus 80. Is that correct?
277
plus
80 is what our net income is year to date.
Yeah.
So it's 277 plus 80.
But then you have expenses.
Well, we're going to continue to make money given.
He wants more for the milfoil. That's where he's getting it.
Right.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. So to make it clear, the comptroller never wants your surpluses, whether you add them together, have them separate. You shouldn't have more than 10% or 12 to 12%. That's healthy. we were down, when we inherited, last year, when we inherited the budget from last year, we were down to 95,000 in surplus. We've raised the surplus from 95,000 to just in the general budget to 343,441. Does that make sense? Okay. All right, so with that said, we're going to have more money that we save this year in this year's budget. So that's why we can slowly, you know, take that impact and not make it so strong as other things roll off in our budget.
Okay, I'm beating a dead horse here.
That's okay.
On the water, we said we had a surplus, Claudio, of 277.
277
plus, then plus we're net income of 80. So that's 357.
Yep.
And Mary Jo just said in the general fund, we have a surplus of 344K.
Right now.
That, the sum of that, 701. Are we all in agreement?
Yeah.
That's what our surplus is.
Yep. If you add the two funds together, yes.
Debbie?
Yeah, I guess.
Yep. That's it.
That's a lot of conviction.
So we went from... you know, 120,000.
They are separate, but you're looking at what your savings accounts are.
Yeah. And you went from about 120 combined to just.
And the reason why our rating went down, because for the past 3 years or 4 years prior, they were taking quite a bit of surplus out. From $1 million, it went down to 95,000. So that's when I spoke to the comptroller. And I had a very lengthy conversation with the comptroller a year ago. That's why the ratings went down. They take that as one of the biggest factors, is that why are you taking so much out of your surplus? Unless we had had a catastrophe and needed all that money. Okay? All right, so moving on.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yeah.
So looking at your new budget, right?
Right.
If you, in just a general fund, if you had a projected surplus currently of about 343,
right,
and you're planning to use 128 of surplus, so
right,
your budget goes right on budget, your surplus at the end of
right,
the end of the year would be about 215.
But we're going to have also a surplus for 16-17. We've got about projected, I think Debbie and I projected around 85,000 we're putting also into the surplus.
Oh, so the 343 is a surplus at the beginning of the current fiscal year.
Yes.
Not the current
fiscal year. Right.
Anticipated fiscal year.
No, that's what we have, 343, what we have right now. That's current surplus.
May 31, 2016.
Yes.
Yes.
That's current.
Okay.
So we'll be adding another 80, possibly around in there, onto that. So follow me? Does that make sense? Okay. So let's go just from the top and we'll work our way down. So the first revenue total property taxes, pretty self-explanatory where we are there. We stayed the same. The reason why the payment in lieu of taxes is up is that's done by a calculation that was done many, many administrations ago. And so when that calculation gets readdressed each year, that moves up. It had not been readdressed prior budget years. So we are making sure we're doing that.
And that's the Tuxedo Park School.
Yes.
But they haven't paid anything yet for this year.
No, they pay that. When do they pay that, Debbie?
It's
May 30th.
Yeah, when, after all the water
year,
bills are calculated.
They did not
pay
what they were asked to pay, it looks, in 2015.
No, they, that's what their actual.
The actual was not what we budgeted.
No, but it's a formula.
It's a formula.
So they don't necessarily have to do what we.
Well, no, it's a formula. We already see what their water bills are. So we were already able to base that off
of. They didn't do it that year, but we assume they'll do it.
They've never done it before. Yeah, yeah. And so now they know they have to really stick by the calculations. Follow me?
Yeah, they didn't.
So county sales tax, we're being conservative. We're staying at 90. You can see the actuals come in a little bit higher, but even though we have a lot of new businesses in Orange County coming in, we just don't want to overdo that number, so we just stay conservative. Clerk fees stay the same. Public, the tags, we decide to, we're close to, you know, there's still more coming in. We possibly will hit that 25 mark. The actual was 22 for 15-16. So we're wanting to be a little bit more conservative and keep it at 20 and rather than 25. Parking details, we just left that flat. Even though it comes in a little bit higher, we just stay conservative. Zoning fees, planning fees, sewer charges, all of those are pretty self-explanatory. They just go up with the calculations. interest rates, the license fees, property rentals, that went down because we now have taken control of the Southgate House, so that's why that number has changed. That's back into the village hands, and so we...
Hold on a second. By leaving the Southgate House empty, we don't pay property taxes to the township.
And so...
Where we were renting it and paying property taxes to township because it was, we were making income off of it.
So essentially, the bottom line was we'd profit around a couple of thousand a year off of renting it, but we were putting back that same amount of money to clean it up and take care of, maintain, and all of that. So now we actually are using that. That's our emergency facility. If we had to operate the Southgate, we now have shelter for the police, for the unions, as you're supposed to have. If we have to really operate the Southgate in case something happens to the front gate, as such it did when the booth went down, we have that. We also have it to where the officers, if they have to stay over during an emergency, we have cots that they can stay there. And, you know, one officer or two officers could sleep over in an emergency with
or
cots.
Anybody else.
It's also the storage for some of the stuff for the emergency, other than that we have stuff for the trailer, but as we had the emergency of the blizzard the other day, we have emergency cots in there as well. We're able to pull those cots. The club needed to use them for the blizzard. So instead of, we can't break the lock off of the Salvation Army vehicle unless that's a declared emergency that we operate the... Pardon?
Red Cross.
I mean Red Cross. I say Salvation. I mean Red Cross. Unless we're actually operating under a shelter call, when the shelter gets activated, then we break that lock, and then all the services from Red Cross come in, and everything's ready in that trailer for us. That trailer gets maintained and operated totally by the Red Cross.
So does the building need a CO?
No. We have a CO already.
No, we took it off.
I meant, is it required to have a CO? And you say it's already has one.
Yeah, it already has one.
But we took it off the tax rolls.
That was my question.
From the township tax roll, the tax exemption, where before it wasn't.
Right, okay.
And we weren't making money on it.
So moving on down, building permits, that's self-explanatory. You can see where we are to date, actual adopted, and where we put in for tentative. We just want to stay conservative, as I've said. Boat dock and permits, we're just feeling those numbers. Those numbers really don't kick in for the next couple of months.
I'd like to say something about
yes.
that.
Yes.